Al Zarqawi became a jihadist of international leadership on February 5th, 2003, when Colin Powell went to the Security Council of the United Nations and presented him as the link between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda. In reality, at that time, al-Zarqawi was not even a member of al-Qaeda. However, it was sufficient that Colin Powell presented him as such to the world to create mythology around this individual, who in reality at that time was a very small leader of a very small group of jihadists.
You're saying that al-Zarqawi's importance was inflated by the speech by Colin Powell, in which he was described wrongly, as it turned out, as a link between al-Qaeda and Iraq. But then he did grow. I mean, his role did in fact become larger after that.
Yeah, to a certain extent, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. He did grow into the most ruthless and the number two of al-Qaeda, internationally speaking, and for sure the leader of the jihadist insurgency in Iraq. He also became instrumental to the creation of a sort of civil war between the Sunni and the Shiites. He is the one who began the attack against the Shiites in August 2003, when he killed al-Hakim, who was the leader of the Shiites in Iraq.
Do we know enough about Zarqawi's organization in Iraq to know whether it was sufficiently hierarchical that upon Zarqawi's death, somebody else would logically assume the leadership? Or is there no other name even associated with the higher ranks of his organization in Iraq?
It was not a highly hierarchical organization, primarily for logistical reasons, because we're talking about an insurgency which is conducting a guerrilla warfare. So it's very difficult to maintain within this context control of every single aspect of this insurgency. We do have the name of an individual who is of Iraqi origins, who apparently was sent 2 months ago from Afghanistan, allegedly by Osama bin Laden, to become number two of al-Zarqawi in Iraq, who is supposed to step into his shoes and to become the leader. The reason why he was chosen, why an Iraqi was chosen, is because, of course, al-Zarqawi is from Jordan, and one of the main problems in getting the Sunni population to rally around himself was the fact that he was not Iraqi. But we have to wait and see for confirmation about who is going to take his place.
Well, if in fact the al-Qaeda in Iraq, as Zarqawi's network was called, has been decapitated, it's lost its leader, what has it lost? It's lost a symbolic figure, it's lost a commander, it's lost someone who plans operations or organizes things, raises money. How would you describe the function that's lost?
I think operationally speaking, he hasn't lost very much, because the structure of the jihadist insurgency is such that the various groups operate independently from each other. So considering al-Zarqawi as commander-in-chief of the jihadists is actually wrong. In terms of the iconic values of this individual for the jihadists, I think, you know, psychologically it's going to be quite hard to accept the fact that he has been killed. But then at the same time, in death, this man will be much stronger than in life, because now he is a martyr. So we probably will see proliferation of the al-Zarqawi brigades. We'll see more activities in Iraq and even outside Iraq, a group who want to vindicate the death of the great hero.
As you've said, at the time that then-Secretary of State Colin Powell spoke of Zarqawi in his presentation to the Security Council of the United Nations, Zarqawi at the time was not a member of al-Qaeda. I've found it interesting in reading what you and others have written that his eventual relationship with Osama bin Laden was something that was actually negotiated. It started very badly. They evidently didn't like each other at all, or certainly bin Laden didn't think much of this man when he first met him. I've read that it took 8 months for bin Laden to finally embrace Zarqawi from a distance as the head of al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Yes, it was a very long negotiation. Well, they had completely different views of the jihad. Osama bin Laden always focused his fight against the faraway enemy, the United States, while, of course, al-Zarqawi was very much focused on the near enemy, the existing corrupted Arab regimes, and in particular, Jordan. But also socially, these two men come from two different worlds, two worlds that in the Middle East never meet. So I think... To a certain extent, al-Zarqawi was an exception within the jihadist movement because he was a proletariat, he was a poor individual, he was an ignorant individual who managed to achieve a stardom, so, you know, the top of the jihadist pyramid. And it's interesting to see that that status was achieved because of us, because we in the West put this man, who was really a nobody, in that position.
In all of those negotiations, what did Zarqawi get beyond, if you will, the brand al-Qaeda? That is, did he receive any material support? Were people sent from Afghanistan or bomb-making materials? What came along with that embrace from bin Laden?
What al-Zarqawi got from Osama bin Laden, what he needed from Osama bin Laden was actually social status, because al-Zarqawi is a foreigner, he's not an Iraqi. He's not a religious leader, he's not a rich individual, so he could not rally around himself the Sunni population. He did not have the status. So by becoming the emir of al-Qaeda in Iraq, he immediately achieved that status.
Loretta Napoleoni, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
That's Loretta Napoleoni speaking to us from Rome. She is the author of Insurgent Iraq, al-Zarqawi and al-Qaeda's New Generation.